This is Dear Analyst, episode number 100. That's right, 100. Holy cannoli. Somehow, I've hit 100 episodes on this little fun podcast that I do about data analytics and Excel and Google Sheets and whatnot. And just want to reflect a little bit and think about some of the best episodes that I think I've published on the podcast. And this podcast really started off as an experiment. Basically, I was lazy and I got tired of writing blog posts all the time. And I thought recording audio would be easier, faster, less work. And ironically, I'm still writing just as much because I put all these show notes into my blog and on the newsletter. And so it's become kind of a regular thing in my life where I just kind of force myself to record an episode, write the notes, and forces me to continue to write. And I think writing is obviously a very important skill to have these days. And just wanted to thank all the data nerds out there who are listening to this podcast or reading the show notes. I could say something trite like, I'm doing this all for you guys or for all the listeners, but in reality, I'm doing it for myself. And I just want to explore topics that I'm interested in relation to data analytics. So with that being said, I want to thank you for listening to the show. This is the 100th episode. And here's a look back at my top five favorite episodes. And I'll also include some audio snippets in the episode. So let's start off with number one. The first episode, episode number one, has got to be my favorite. It's the first one. It's the inaugural episode, and I talked about paste special values in Excel for the first episode. It was published on March 3rd, 2019, pre-pandemic. Had no idea what I was doing. I had just installed like the PowerPress plugin, I think, on WordPress, which is what I use to publish the podcast. And I was still trying to figure out how to make the plugin work. I wasn't even sure if it was actually going to work. But I thought about talking about a relatively technical subject, which is paste special values. And here is a clip from that.
And the reason why I'm calling this podcast Dear Analyst is because I myself used to be an analyst. I still consider myself to be an analyst. And I think when you are an analyst, no matter what industry you're in, I think the characteristics, the skills, the traits that you have carry over into other aspects of your life. And yeah, that's kind of why I called this podcast Dear Analyst. And in this podcast, I plan to talk about a variety of things, mostly first and foremost around data, data analysis, and getting into other realms of maybe programming a little bit. Also a lot about Excel. If you guys know me, I love Excel and using Excel for crunching numbers and crunching data. But I wanted to also make it more broadly about data and how it's impacting your life and work and personal, so on and so forth.
Oh gosh, was I ever so young and naive. I had just started working at Coda less than a year at that point, and I was creating content at work comparing Excel and Coda, and I was actually questioning a lot of the common behaviors we do in Excel, and paste special values was one of them. And I had written this really long blog post about it for Coda, and I framed this post and this episode more as a why you should not do paste special values versus how to do paste special values, because so many people, blogs, whatever, websites, they talk about how to do paste special values, but no one actually digs into the why. And so that's why I focused on the why of paste special values. And that is the first episode, number two. episode number 28, filling values down to the last row of data. And explaining formulas and technical concepts, I realize, over audio is really tricky because as a listener, you're trying to visualize the Excel file I'm explaining. And I dug pretty deep into this episode in terms of how to fill values down in multiple different methods to the last row of your data. And the reason why I think this is one of my top five favorite episodes is because the show notes, the blog post for this episode, quickly became the most visited blog post on my site. And I don't know why. I guess a lot of people are looking for ways to fill values down to the last row of data. But the reason it just came magically because I had no idea this was such an important topic for people that are looking to do stuff in Excel or Google Sheets. And prior to this blog post being the number one most visited page on my site, the most visited page was this blog post on how to split costs with friends, a Google Sheet template I published in 2014. And so from an SEO's perspective, I didn't expect this episode, this blog post about something simple as filling values down to the last row of data, drawing so much search traffic in such a short period of time. So here is a little clip from that episode.
So instead, the trick here is instead of pressing Control or Command down in column E, what you do is press your left arrow over to passengers, in this case, column D. We know that column D contains all of our numbers for passengers, and it's all contiguous down to the last row of our data set. In this case, it's row 281. So if I press my cursor over left once to column D, and now if I press Command or Control down arrow, it brings me to cell D281, which is the last row of my data set, and I'm also in the passengers column D. Now at this point, I can press my right arrow cursor, right arrow once, so it puts my cursor now in cell E281, and guess what? Now I'm in a blank row, but more importantly, I'm in the last row that contains data for my entire data set, which is row 281. So at this point, what I'll do is I'll press Shift and Command on the Mac, or Shift and Control on the PC, and then press the up arrow. So again, I'm in cell E281. It's a blank cell. It should not contain any formulas. I'm going to press Shift, Command, up arrow. And then it automatically brings your selection up to cell E2, which contains the first formula we wrote.
As you can tell, this is a very difficult episode to do because I'm walking through something in Excel and you're listening to me only the audio. But I think I also created a YouTube video from this episode, I believe. So if you're really interested in learning how to fill values down, check out episode number 28 and check out the blog post. The top third episode, I guess you could say, was my very first guest on the show, episode number 50, also kind of a monumental episode, I suppose, because I never thought I'd make it to 50. And my first guest on the Dear Analyst podcast was Sean Wang, also known as Swix on Twitter. And I never thought I'd do a kind of like a Q&A interview type of show with people in the data analytics world. And after interviewing Sean, I realized this is actually a pretty fun way to learn about data, which is just talking to other folks who are more smarter than me. And so Sean was already pretty well known in the React.js and Svelte community, more like in the web development side. I've heard him speak on other web development podcasts like Syntax FM. And I didn't know that he had a banking background where he wrote thousands of lines of VBA code for Excel to automate stuff. As such, I had to have him on the show, so I reached out to him, and that was episode number 50. So here's a quick clip from that.
The central problem of Excel and VBA is that Excel is a two-dimensional spreadsheet, right? So your data comes in you know, two-dimensional charts. But VBA doesn't really have any matrix math operations to work with. Mm-hmm. So if you want to multiply a matrix by another matrix, or you want to add a matrix to another matrix, you just kind of have to do a bunch of loops. So I basically missed all the functionality from MATLAB, which is the other mathematical finance tool that a lot of people will be familiar with. In MATLAB, you can literally just take a matrix and multiply by another matrix, and it just works fine. So I basically needed to re-implement MATLAB inside of Excel for me to do matrix math. So that's essentially the start of it. So I did the math stuff. Then I did statistics, which is a math that's useful. So sum, mean, standard deviation, trailing average, common filters, and so on and so forth. And then you start to move into finance theory, like pricing options, pricing interest rate swaps, pricing futures. And all of these are based on top of having a good math standard library, which VBA does not have. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, I was also using VBA to automate reporting, right? Like we just had daily reports that needed to go out to like our compliance departments and, you know, accounting departments, whatever. So what if you could, you know, click a button, run a script, send an email, format things, generate charts, all that stuff was done inside of VBA. And because I was not a software engineer, I was just like, you know, self-taught, like copying, pasting from Stack Overflow or whatever. I put it all in one 4,000 line long VBA script file and emailed it to myself. And that was the basis of our trading system.
Wow. So Sean definitely dropped a lot of great knowledge on this podcast, and I really thank him for being the first guest on the show. And he definitely got into some topics into web development that I'm not super familiar with, but that's the whole point of this show, is to learn and absorb knowledge from other folks. All right, number four, my fourth favorite episode was episode number 91, a pretty recent episode. And this was all things Peloton. The reason why I like this episode was because, well, it was with the guest, and also I became a Peloton rider user during the pandemic, like a lot of people, and I got pretty addicted to the post-ride analytics that the platform shows you on the bike and on the website. And the original person I wanted to speak with from Peloton was, you can listen to episode number 91 with Alina Dyachkova. She was working at Peloton at the time, and due to, you know, NDA and PR communications concerns with her with Peloton, we realized that she couldn't really speak much about her job as a product analyst at Peloton. So it didn't make sense for her to be on the podcast at the time. And then some time passed and Alina ended up moving to a different company. She left Peloton. We got back in touch and she told me that she was able to share more about her role as an analyst at Peloton because she was no longer a full-time employee there. So that was really exciting for me because not only could she and I nerd out about Peloton's analytics and how they do analytics internally at Peloton, I also got to learn a little bit more about what was coming down in the future in terms of like future product stuff for Peloton. So just being a Peloton user and customer, I suppose, this was a really fun episode for me because it's something that I was using pretty much every other day, I think, during the pandemic. Now, so not so much. I'm riding bikes outside and stuff, but I got really involved with Peloton in terms of working with their unofficial API. I built an integration with Coda, and I just really fell in love with the analytics and the detail in which Peloton provides the analytics. And having Alina on the show to talk about her role and just chatting with her about everything Peloton analytics was definitely a joy.
For example, one of the interesting additional explorations that we did with the data is whether kind of routine variety was important, since now we were offering not just cycling, but also strength and stretching and yoga. and you know, running, walking, outdoor running, is it important for our users to engage with the whole slew? You know, should we be pushing them for that variety and encouraging them to, you know, every week to do multiple disciplines as opposed to just cycling? So we did some data exploration. It was more so we tried my best to kind of exclude, kind of delineate correlation and causation, although, you know, without any fancy methods like causal inference. But we got some indication that, you know, second fitness discipline gives you an uplift in retention, but beyond the second one, it didn't really matter as much. So variety was important to an extent that, you know, you don't just cycle, but you complement your routine with something else, which also makes sense from a conceptual standpoint, right? Because if you just cycle and you don't do any strength, you don't do any stretching, you might get injured, you know, or you might get overworked. So it makes sense from that perspective too, which is really important for a KPI, right? But the variety in the sense that every day you should do a different discipline, that wasn't really beneficial. So that was one interesting kind of way to look at it, as an input, kind of introducing that variety, but also capping it at a specific level where, you know, maybe beyond two, beyond three fitness disciplines that didn't really matter.
So in addition to having her talk about Peloton Analytics, she also spoke a lot about the team structure, how they approached building projects on the analytics team. So if you're interested in learning more about building your own analytics team, getting buy-in from different stakeholders, building out dashboards, and all the kind of organizational headaches and tips and tricks for that, definitely give episode number 91 a listen. And my fifth favorite episode in the last 100 would have to be episode number 38. And this was one of my first, or the first, like Excel mistake leads to a catastrophe episode. So this episode, this type of episode, I published a few of them on the podcast, and the reception has been pretty good because the general story for these episodes is there's some analyst, low-level analyst, like they are doing something in Excel, they make some formula or formatting error that they didn't catch, and then that error ends up costing the company like millions and billions of dollars. So episode number 38 was the first episode of this type where I was exploring one of these Excel errors, which was this error at JP Morgan Chase that led to $6.2 billion in losses because some trader made a mistake on one of their Excel files. And unlike the news outlets who cover these stories, which are just trying to sensationalize, like, you know, so-and-so company lost billions of dollars because of Excel error, I thought it would be more interesting to explore the actual Excel error itself to see how one could make the error, how it could have been avoided, and why we make these errors all the time because of like default behavior in Excel. And so here's a short snippet from that episode.
On a day-to-day basis, if that band of the sum of changes and the average of changes is very narrow, the modeler might not have seen what was happening to the numbers. And I think this applies for you too. And I mean, this makes the job of modeler very hard. If you have incorrectly put in a sum instead of an average, and the sum was really close to the average, you may not have known what was happening until it's too late, where the sum and the average start diverging a lot, which I'll show in the next chart. But if you take, and so in the report they say, the spreadsheet divided by their sum instead of their average. So if we take a hypothetical $100 and divide the $100 by the sum and by the average, you're going to get wildly different numbers. So if you take $100 divided by the sum, you get $3,333. Divided by the average, it's $16,000. So off by a huge factor. A factor of, what is that, by 5 or 6?
So anyways, this trader made a huge mistake. He divided by the sum instead of the average, and it led to this big error. So I published a few more episodes like this, and I think it's interesting to note because we hear these clickbaity headlines and we immediately tell ourselves, oh, I would never make this mistake in Excel. And the reality is we're all human. These errors can happen to anyone, regardless if you're entry level to Excel or if you're an experienced you know, managing director who's used Excel every single day for their last 10, 15 years. These errors are so simple and easy to make that we typically overlook them because we think, you know, we're the shit. And it's usually the result of some default setting in Excel that we just overlook and assume that our model is correct. So there's a few episodes like this, and generally I've gotten good feedback about them because they just are a warning sign to people to not make mistakes in Excel that can lead to billions of dollars of losses to their company. So those are the top five episodes, and that's kind of a wrap for episode number 100. Thank you to all 10 or 100 of you who listened to the podcast. I appreciate you, you know, sticking around and listening to me blabber on about topics I think are interesting. And hopefully I'll continue to publish more episodes that interest you. And if you ever have any feedback, suggestions, comments, email me, al@thekeycuts.com. And with that, thank you. You're far too kind.